Hello, hello, and welcome to The Through Ball, a podcast via 90.7 FM, The Capstone. I'm your host, MG Cease. This week, we'll be discussing the UA women's soccer team's match from this past weekend against Ole Miss. I'll give my analysis and my list of key players as per usual, and then we'll take a look ahead to Friday when the Tide travels to Baton Rouge to face LSU. Let's go ahead and dive in. All right, so I'm going to set the scene first. Last Sunday, October 18th, 2020, Alabama faced off with Ole Miss in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Let me tell you, Ole Miss fans really travel. I felt like there were way more Ole Miss fans than there were Tennessee or Arkansas fans at home that we've had the last couple of games. They were definitely loud, at least for the first half, in a different way than the Arkansas fans were loud. They did a lot more yelling at their players rather than the refs. Now that changed in the second half. But in the first half, that was just an interesting difference that I noticed. There was a big crowd tailgating outside the soccer stadium. I think there might have been two rows of cars. There were people sitting in lawn chairs in front of the cars. There were people posted up in the beds of the trucks. I mean, there was a big crowd there. Now, there was also 135 fans in the stadium. That was more than the last game. But if I had to bet, I'd say the extra 20 were probably Ole Miss fans, not Alabama fans. Now, that could just be because I sit in the opposing fan section. That's where the media is placed. So I always feel like there's more opposing fans than Alabama fans simply because I'm placed on the other side of the stadium from them. But I don't know. I feel pretty confident in saying that there were definitely a lot more Ole Miss fans than opposing visitor fans from past weeks. Ben Smith was there again to lead the student section. I briefly relayed that story last week, and I can confirm the elephant that he was raising above his head whenever scores happened last week was a balloon. I couldn't tell if it was a balloon or a statue. It is a balloon. I watched him blow it up. It was a sunny game, so that's different from the last game Bama played in Tuscaloosa for sure. It was in the high 70s to somewhere in the low 80s. It was also the Power Pink game. So the Power Pink is something that the University of Alabama Athletics Program does to raise awareness for breast cancer and then also honor those who currently are or have been fighting breast cancer. So before the game kicked off, there was a couple of games shown on the screen in the soccer stadium, one of which was the Why We Wear Pink video. So it did feature a lot of soccer players, but it featured other athletes from the university as well. And it just was those different athletes explaining, you know, who they're wearing pink for. So that was inspiring to see. And then, of course, the team wore pink jerseys rather than the normal white with crimson lettering that they wear at home. They wore bright pink jerseys with white lettering. There was also a social justice video shown before the game that UA Athletics made. The Alabama team did take a Show the Red Card to Racism picture. However, it was different this week because normally the team takes it together with whatever opposing team that is, be they at home or away. But this week, Ole Miss did not join. Now, I don't know if they have a different protocol as to, you know, what type of pictures they're taking or not taking, but that was interesting to me to see that they did not take the picture together. Players continued to kneel during the anthem. Alabama had about six players kneel. The others had their hands on the shoulders of the person in front of them to show solidarity and support. Ole Miss did not kneel, but all of the players had both hands locked with the person, well, the persons next to them. Taylor Morgan, a key player for Alabama, was not playing in this game. She entered the stadium with a pretty big brace around her lower back and leg, and she was in soccer shorts, but she was in a warm-up shirt, Of course, they were both pink because of the Power of Pink game. But she didn't even wear a penny on the sidelines. She was on the sidelines, but yeah, she was not prepared to enter the game or dress out. And I'm not really sure what's going on with her, but that was kind of concerning to walk into the stadium and see that. Mostly just because, you know, for her sake, of course, I hope that all is well. Now, two players that I have been keeping an eye on as to whether they get the starting nod or not, Serena Pham and Riley Mattingly, they did get the starting nod this week, and they haven't since week two against Mississippi State University, if I'm not mistaken. If you'll remember, Mattingly was listed as a player who could not travel to Florida down in Gainesville the week directly following the Mississippi State game. And then Pham has been wearing some kind of thigh wrap situation. She wasn't this week, so I suppose if there was any injury concerns with her that led to her needing limited minutes, they have been taken care of. Let's get into some gameplay. So Alabama immediately took on a more aggressive formation and look. It was definitely more fluid in their press. They were high press, and it was fluid because Ole Miss was coming back and forth a lot down the sideline. But I'll say I hadn't seen them in that high a press since the first half of the Florida game, and I do like that look from them. Now, I guess we should have gotten this out of the way earlier, but if you don't know by now, Alabama did lose this game, so they've extended their losing streak to 3 games. They're now 1-3-1 on the season. So in the 8th minute, Ole Miss had a long throw-in near Alabama's defending box. They treated it like a set piece. Crone came out to punch the ball out of the goal. Unfortunately, it went over her fist and into the goal. Number 12 on Ole Miss, Channing Foster, netted this one. It was her first goal of the season for Ole Miss, but it definitely sounds like she's a big goal scorer for them, and it's for sure not her first goal of her collegiate career. Now, before this, Ole Miss had not seemed willing to challenge Crone one-on-one when she would come out to play balls with her feet and sweep things away, kind of clean up behind the back line. As I have discussed before, she is certainly not afraid to come out and do that. She had already come out of her line, off her line, out of her box a couple of times, and she came out of the gate in this game looking like she had a lot of confidence in her back line. I also learned more about the type of things that she says. I mentioned that a little bit in the last week, so I just wanted to give you all a couple more examples. It was a lot of, there was more organizational speak from her this week. So it was a lot of her saying stuff like, swing it, pick it up, shift left. And she said, let's go, shift left. This was my favorite. Up, up, step up, step up. So I guess she wanted someone in the back line to step on up. Alabama did a good job creating counterattacks off of Ole Miss's attacks within the first 15 minutes of the game. And the midfield definitely saw more action than previous games. I thought that the pace and the stretch of the game were more similar to the Tennessee game than any other game so far this season. It looked like Ole Miss really did not want the ball to go to Mattingly in the first bit of this game. Mattingly ended up going down in the 20th minute, right around a Alabama corner kick. She got up and walked off on her own power, but then Sims was brought on as a substitute for that center forward, that 9 role, and Mattingly didn't come back on that half. Now, I put her on my key players list, I think the past 3 weeks in a row, and I need to share the love, so I'm going to work around this by talking about her right now and not during my key players list. Kaylee Verpeo, man, she played box to box again this game. Just a fantastic look from her. She showed control with her feet before. Obviously, I've talked about that. I mean, I feel like she's pretty clinical with her control. But I also noticed she's got a lot of control with her head. She was making a lot of good connections from being further back in the midfield, sending balls up to Pham on the left flank. She didn't really create a lot of looks from that connection in the first bit of the game, but it was promising to see that connection threading through the midfield and, you know, working out for the Tide. Now, about half the time, she looked like she would slot it in that back line at the left back position. You know, she is listed as a midfielder. And at one point, it looked like she kind of drifted into the center back position, which I thought was very interesting. That happened after Krohn yelled, "Kaylee, hold, Kaylee, hold." And I think ultimately what led to that was that Sanchez Corretto had moved to push up some, was a little more aggressive, trying to create a little bit of an attack from the back, build out of that backfield. So that wraps up the first half. Let me give you some halftime stats. Alabama was down 0-1 at half. The shots, however, were even. Ole Miss had 4. Alabama had 4. However, Ole Miss, 3 of their 4 were on goal. Alabama had none on goal. Alabama did earn 5 corners to 0 from Ole Miss. Which is kind of promising that they were, you know, still getting into the box and creating those looks that had to be cleared out and, you know, cause a set piece, even though they weren't necessarily getting everything on goal. Mattingly came back in for the second half, and let me tell you, she seemed hungry. This is something that I have written down in my game notes. Yelling a lot and making aggressive runs when ball comes near her. She would really put the burners on when she decided she wanted to chase down a ball. For an example, it was the 48th minute. She was called for a foul and looks like she might have been carded. The ref was kind of reaching towards the pocket. Mattingly was not happy with it. She was just streaking down that left flank to win the foot race to get a ball before 2 Ole Miss defenders got there. She was really trying to, you know, get up top, start that attack. She started on sides, so, you know, it was going to be fine if she broke away from them for the most part. She put a hand out, and I couldn't really tell if that actually pushed the Ole Miss player down or if it was maybe a little bit of a dive. Either way, Ole Miss got a free kick, but Mattingly was not carded. Which, since that was the 48th minute, this leads us to Ole Miss's second goal. It came off a corner in the 50th minute. Alabama cleared it away quickly, but Ole Miss did collect the second ball and sent it back in. Another Ole Miss player took a shot, which was ultimately deflected off of an Alabama player for an own goal. And it just caught Krohn off remark, that deflection. It was just kind of a misleading situation from, you know, the defender, the traffic in the box, and then where the initial shot was taken. So then this takes us back again to Mattingly. I mean, immediately after she started calling for the ball, and she was, you know, she sent a rocket over the crossbar. She was trying to take the ball downfield, and she was earning a couple of corner kicks for Alabama. And I'm going to circle back to all of this, but I did just want to briefly mention it since I'm going in kind of chronological order here. Basically, from Ole Miss's second goal on, Alabama seems like they pretty much controlled the pace. They were aggressive. They were working to catch up and put points on the board and then try to equalize to, you know, work to create an overtime situation. Wes Hart was encouraging this faster pace from the sideline. Now, the best goal scoring opportunity for Alabama occurred in the 79th minute off of a Alabama corner. The service came from Kat Rogers, and she almost whipped the ball straight into the net. But the Ole Miss goalie punched it out for another corner. And let me just take a quick detour right here to tell you that in my game notes, I have like 3 or 4 times written, "Ole Miss goalie is tall." And you might say, well, yeah, most goalies are tall. I know that. My cousin is a lot taller than me and likes to remind me at any chance she has. And she was a goalie, but I mean, this goalkeeper was tall. Anyways, aside from that, the Ole Miss goalie punched it out for another corner kick. Verpale had just been subbed back into the game. She went to service it. And my game notes from here on out well, not from here on out, but here to the end of this little succession of gameplay, are in all caps, so I'm just going to read them to you. Traffic in the box, need VAR, players and fans, UA yelling across the line, line judge doesn't call saying it's not a goal, UA bench and fan section going crazy, Ole Miss fan section getting hostile. So ultimately, it was not called a goal. I can't say if it was or wasn't. I mean, officially, it was not. It looked like it could have crossed the line. It was, to be quite frank, it was pretty heartbreaking for the team that that was not called a goal, so they could at least have gotten 1 point on the board. And I think that it could have probably really turned the momentum around because they had, 10 minutes left to that point. That's plenty of time to score two goals if they, were still playing as aggressive as they had been. So even though Alabama controlled the pace and was on the attack for most of the second half, Ole Miss did occasionally burst out with an explosive attacking play. Not really ever an organized push, more of just a long ball or a single player broke forward for a run. And this is something that I felt like Alabama kind of struggled with against Arkansas as well, was controlling that more explosive runs towards goal. Now, the final score was 2-0 with Ole Miss winning. Again, Alabama's losing streak stretched from 3 games in the 8th game SEC season, and Ole Miss jumped over Alabama in the SEC West leaderboard. We're going to take a quick break before I get into my key players and my preview for the LSU game.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
All right, so here's my list of key players. I said we were going to circle back to it. We're circling back to her performance and this player. We've talked about her a lot. Center forward in that 9 role, Riley Mattingly. Now, I hinted at a lot of what I want to say, but what really stuck out is this second goal for Ole Miss on her performance from there on. She plays that 9. We've discussed that role before. Her expectations and Coach Hart's expectations align. She is meant to score goals and create goal-scoring opportunities for others as well. So I did mention this earlier, but she got the starting nod in this game. But let me give you a couple more details. She got the starting nod, but she only played for 55 minutes. That is 30 minutes more than she played the last game. She had 2 shots, but neither were on goal. However, she was tied with Carly Wyatt and Serena Pham with those 2 shots. They all had 2 shots apiece. So let's kind of get into her second half performance. She was maybe a little quiet in the first half. I didn't see a whole lot from her. Now, we'll get into that in a little bit. Or I guess we already did. That is probably because she got injured, about halfway through that first half and got taken out. So she didn't see about 20 minutes of the first half. But the second half, she was going all out. She was making runs. She was yelling for the ball. She was beginning to push forward and challenge more. I mean, immediately after Ole Miss scored that second goal. And it seems like she was working to put the spark back in that offense. And it looks like that was what was missing in the Alabama attack earlier on. The team was starting to play with a renewed sense of urgency. And personally, I feel like it stemmed a lot from Mattingly's attack. She was yelling a lot of things at and or to players, however you want to view that. She was trying to organize, and I kind of think she was trying to light a fire under everybody to kind of get back in the game. For an example, she a couple times yelled something along the lines of, "Casey, win it back." She was subbed off for just over 10 minutes right in the middle of the half, and then just fought to the absolute end of the game when she was put back in. She was right in the middle of that dangerous look and big effort in the 79th minute. Here's some quotes, things I wrote in the last 2 or less minutes of the game. Mattingly absolutely will not accept defeat until last second. Mattingly battled to end, trying to turn hips enough to get on left foot and get a shot off. So, I mean, within the literal last seconds of the game, Mattingly was still trying to get that goal. She wanted it this game. She wanted it for the team, but I would also feel like she, you know, would want that personally because she is a nine. The last time that we spoke was after the Mississippi State game. She did tell me that she wasn't really personally happy with her performance because she wasn't really able to get the goals off that she wanted to or the shots. So I would continue to keep an eye on her because I do think that she's going to enter the swamps of Louisiana with something to prove this game. Now, the next player I want to talk about is Sanchez Carreto, a defender. Now, I feel like I've previously called her, referred to her first name as Tana. It's definitely Tana, so I apologize for that. That is just a little bit of my Southern twang coming through when it probably shouldn't. All right, she has impeccable positioning to stop opposing attacks. I think it's happened against all teams this year, but I really noticed it this game against Ole Miss. She doesn't really run much, or at least she didn't in the first minutes of the game, but she doesn't have to because of how good her positioning is. She can really read what the attack is going to do and just kind of get to where she needs to be to intercept passes and just send the balls back upfield to her attack. If you're a Premier League fan, kind of gives me Virgil van Dijk vibes, which also side note, speedy recovery to him and his ACL. Now, I did realize when she does run, she covers a lot of ground. She has got a big stride. So anyways, I thought she had a really great performance this game. Now, another person who I have mentioned previously in this episode, but has not been on this list before, is midfielder Kat Rogers. So again, this is a new name in this little segment. This is also kind of a new segment or a new highlight of this podcast that I'm going to start working to implement in most episodes, if not all episodes. So whatever you want to call it, segment, highlight, whatever. But so obviously this podcast name is The Through Ball, but what is a through ball? Basically, it's a good pass that goes through defenders or through the midfield. So, you know, haha, get it? It could be long or short. So, honestly, I thought that Rogers did a fantastic job threading great balls across the field in her midfield role. She was distributing all over the field. I felt like her passing range is pretty impressive because I noticed longer and shorter balls. She had a lot of good distribution to Vincenz and Wirtz, specifically up top. Now, the through ball of this game might have been around the 32nd minute, and this is what I have written. Tricky flick in midfield to Rogers from Wirtz started an attack. Now, it was to Rogers, not from Rogers, but I really liked the connection that she and Wirtz had all day and the way that they both are able to read the midfield. So I wanted to just go ahead and include that with her name. She also just has great service from corners. She alternated taking the corners with Verpale. She almost whipped a few directly in. So I would love to see her do that later this season. I will be keeping an eye on her number 15. Another couple of key players just to quickly name. I'm not really going to go into why they're key players. They just had great performances. Macy Clem, Serena Pham, Sasha Pickard, and Allie Burke. Burke, particularly in the last 30 minutes of the game, I noticed her. And Clem, I noticed her putting in a lot of work towards the end of the first half specifically. Not that they did not play well through the entire game, but those were just areas that their names popped up a lot in my game notes. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to the preview. Alabama is going to travel to Baton Rouge on Friday to play LSU. Now, LSU is currently winless. They are 0-3-1. So in a lot of ways, LSU has a lot to prove. Bama also does because the Crimson Tide was dropped to 6th in the SEC West. Right after the loss, they were tied at 5th with Auburn. However, Auburn picked up a win over Georgia on Sunday evening, and it bumped him up. You know, it's pretty deep into the season. They don't have many games left before the SEC tournament starts. I've said the same thing for the past few games, and Bama has not performed well. Well, not that they haven't performed well, but they've lost. So I guess I'll just say it's important that Alabama gets the dub with this game. So the game is on SEC Network Plus. It kicks off at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I hope everyone tunes in for that game. I hope everyone sends good vibes to Baton Rouge. I'm sure the players will appreciate them over in the swamps and enemy territory. Thank you for tuning in this week to listen to my thoughts, my analysis, and I hope everyone is well. I hope everybody tunes in again. And if you have anything that you want me to know going forward with this podcast, you want to hear more of, you want to hear less of, whatever, let me know. I'm on Twitter. And this is the through ball.